My old friend, now a while deceased from us, one of the smartest theologians that probably I've ever known, Brother E.W. Johnson. He stayed in there with it. And his little old church went down. Many times he said he'd go to the sanctuary, and the church and the parsonage was right, up against one another. Step out of the parsonage, you walk into the sanctuary. Out there in Pine Bluff, and he'd go out there a lot of times. Would be nobody there but Mildred, his wife. And rather than forego a service, he had already prepared a lesson. He'd say, "Well, Mildred, open your Bible." And he would teach his wife patience, perseverance. That's a grace that God gives all of his people. And many of them don't exercise it. Don't exercise it. Well, let's look in our Bibles to the 27th chapter of Genesis. And we're going to talk about Isaac blessing his sons. Isaac blessing his two sons, Jacob and Esau. Scripture said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And we have the account of this over here in the 27th chapter of your Bibles, the book of Genesis. If you want to open there, because I'll be skipping here and there. So it'll be hard, difficult to sort of follow me in your Bible, but take my word for it. I'll stay with the scriptures. It says in the first four verses there, and I'm reading from the ESV, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered, we'd say, "Yes, sir." He said, "Here I am." And he said, "Behold, I'm old. I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons." He was a hunter. He said, "Take your weapons in your quiver and your bow, and go out into the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food." And the Authorized Version says savory food. "Such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Well, at this time, Isaac was 130-year-old. And he died 180-year-old. So his fifth year between these span here, between when he thought he was going to die. I didn't know exactly when, but he'd already gone blind. He couldn't see. And so he thought his years were creeping up on him. And it'd be long before he'd be gone. But a lot happened between between this span here. You remember Jacob, of course, had to go to find refuge and safety from his brother Esau after he and his mother Rebekah so deceived him, deceived Isaac, and Isaac blessed Jacob rather than Esau. It caused a lot of turmoil, caused a lot of problems. And sometimes, I've used this before. I say, had they waited on God, God would have accomplished his purpose. It cannot be frustrated. He would have accomplished his purpose apart from all this that they in their deception, provided to do and devised to do. And so that's always sort of caught me there as a lesson on our learning to be patient, waiting upon God. Scripture tells us that quite often, don't it? Wait upon the Lord. Just wait upon the Lord. And he'll renew thy strength and accomplish his purpose in his own time. I've heard men preach. I've literally heard men preach their farewell sermons, sort of like what Isaac's doing here. And some of them still living. And I heard them preach those sermons years and years ago. And so we have to leave all things in the hands of God, don't we? I don't know the day of my death. I think it's probably coming up pretty soon, but God knows. And he has it all under his control. But he said this, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now this blessing was not ordinary and common, but what parents used to bestow upon their children at the time of the death, or sometimes a little bit before, they'd call them in and bless them and pass their blessings on them. And sometimes maybe give a few words of encouragement and what they desired them to do and for them, and perhaps what might be an inheritance, how it should to be divided up and that sort of thing. It was a common thing. But this was not just a common thing. This blessing that we're talking about here, that Isaac was about to unveil and pronounce upon his son Esau. John Gill said, good men oftentimes did this under a spirit of prophecy, declaring that what would be the case and circumstances of their children in time to come. And you see this especially, the good section of scripture concerning Jacob passing on his blessings upon his sons in the 49th chapter of Genesis. And you might want to look at that in the relationship to what I'm saying here. And so particularly the principal part of this blessing of Isaac, which Abraham had entailed upon him by divine direction. And he thought to have entailed on Esau. That was his purpose, I believe. His firstborn. And the promise was that of the descent of the Messiah. Abraham was looking for Christ. He was looking for the day of Christ. And he passed that down to Isaac. And it was coming time when the Messiah would appear and our redemption would be accomplished. And that should have been the way the blessing worked out here upon Esau, upon Jacob, whomever he was to bless. Well, so what we have here, this shows that Rebecca, think about this. Rebecca had not made known the oracle to Isaac. What are you talking about here? You remember the oracle that she received from the Lord? When those boys as twins were in her womb and were struggling and giving her undoubtedly terrible discomfort, she couldn't figure out what was going on. She went to the Lord and inclined God as to what was going on within her womb. And he explained to her, there's two nations in your womb. And he goes on and talks about what their purpose would be when they came into the world. But he reversed the order that was normally applied in those days. And he said, now, when they're born, the older boy is going to serve the younger. And it doesn't appear that Rebecca ever revealed this to Isaac. There's other reasons that he might have foregone to bless Esau before he blessed Jacob. Matter of fact, is the more I read this thing here, and from the various translations, especially from the ESV, it doesn't appear to me that he ever intended to bless Jacob. His mind was set, and he had determined he was going to bless Esau, which he always considered to be the firstborn. Now, whether Rebecca failed to reveal that to him, what God had revealed to her, we don't know. There's much mystery here. Much mystery here. And I don't think nobody's got a good complete answer for this thing, a conclusion on it. But anyway, you can see that oracle back in chapter 25, verse 23. We won't go there, but you can read it for yourself, Genesis 25, 23. or if she had maybe forgot to tell Isaac what God had revealed to her, or did not, maybe he did not understand exactly the oracle as it was revealed to Rebecca. All these are questions that we might maybe consider for our own thinking. And maybe he thought that that oracle which had been revealed to Rebecca, that is, that the elder would serve the younger. Maybe he thought that that just applied to the posterity, not directly to the two sons. All these things can be considered. But my conclusion is, Rebecca just did not reveal that thing to Isaac. And maybe she should, and maybe she shouldn't. Who knows but God? So we have to take up these things with the Lord, don't we? And some of these things we just find is there's a silence in the Word of God on it. It's not revealed to us. And so we must move on and try to pick up God's purpose and plan and leave some things behind. But anyway, looking at this thing here from that point of view, this blessing and inheritance might go on in the common channel. That seems to be maybe what Isaac thought. But regardless of what Rebecca might have had revealed to her, or regardless of whether or not she told him what was revealed to him, he, maybe just in a self-determination, and maybe out of his affection for Esau. Those parents were guilty of favoritism. That Rebecca, she loved that boy Jacob. He was a very homely fella, and he spent much of his time in the tent with his mother. And he learned to cook, and this sort of domestic situations that he had picked up from her. While Esau was the rough and rugged and tough hombre who was out hunting constantly. He was a hunter. And his father, Isaac, seemed to favor that. Well, maybe that was the case here. Again, we just don't know all the ins and outs of it. Well, back to Rebecca's plot here. That's the interesting thing. Rebecca said to her son Jacob, and she did. I overheard your father speak to your brother Esau. And he told him, he charged him and said to him, bring me game and prepare for me delicious food or savory food that I may eat and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock. This is Sarah's, Rebecca's charge to Jacob now. After she reveals to Jacob what she overheard her husband and his father Isaac saying to Esau. Rebecca said, go to the flock. I've got another plan. I've got something different from what your father's proposing. Go to the flock and bring to me two good young goats. The authorized version said kids. That's young goats. And so that I may prepare from them delicious or savory food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat after I've prepared it, so that he may bless you instead of blessing Esau before he dies. But, Jacob said, he makes an objection here. He said, wait a minute. But, Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man. And you go back to the birth in chapter 25. And you remember when Esau came out, he was red all over and hairy. Something like unbelievable. Like an animal. He was hairy all over, where Jacob was smooth skinned. And so Jacob says, look, I don't know whether it's going to work or not. My father knows the both of us. He knows that Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth skinned man. And he says, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man, smooth skinned. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him, and bring a curse upon me, not a blessing. And so I think he's proposing this thing to his mother, Rebecca. He says, "And have you figured that out? Have you thought about that? What kind of a predicament you might place me in?" And Rebecca goes on and says unto him, "You go do as I say. Go to the flock and get 2 young goats and bring them to me." And of course, if deception, and that's what we have here, we have a plan of deception working all through this whole thing here. And if deception is to be accomplished, lie after lie after lie must be added to it. You've got to keep covering that thing up with untruths. And that's what they did here. That was a whole thing at work as we follow this on through the scriptures here. And he said, "You go in," she said unto him, "Jacob, go and do as I say." So he went and took the young goats and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food, savory food, such as his father Isaac loved. Then Rebekah took of the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, in the tent, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. She's really going to dress him up now, do everything she possibly can to make him appear to be Esau. But she's determined to get this blessing diverted from Esau to Jacob, because that was God's purpose. But again, does God need help? Huh? Do you think we need to help the Lord? I don't think so. I don't think so. And of course, if you follow the story of this family here, there was a terrible curse that fell upon them, and the suffering that went on during that span of 50 years. Rebekah died after Jacob fled to Hebron and went back to Padan Aram and spent 20 years there. Rebekah died never seeing her beloved and most favored son again. That should have been a terrible thing. And then beside that, if you read the story carefully, Esau gave them nothing but trouble. He was a constant burden to them, and Rebekah made that very clear to Isaac. He married 2 of the heathen women out of the tribes there in the land, and his comrades were taken there in the land from the tribes. So he was, a matter of fact, he associated himself after this with Ishmael. That was his kin relationship that he so insisted on, rather than the relationship of Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, and those in the Abrahamic family. But then we have the skins that were taken from the goats. Rebekah took those and formed them some way, maybe making some type of a glove out of them, formed them and put them on Jacob's hands, where his hands would feel hairy, and put them on the smooth part of his neck, which was the back of his neck, where his father undoubtedly, before this thing was over with, embraced him by putting his hand upon it around the backside of his neck and pulling him down to him and kissed him. And as they departed. But anyway, going back to what we're reading here, we find this deception just taking place here. One lie was placed upon another. And Jacob said to his father, after he went in to bring him his food, "I am Esau, your firstborn." That's the first lie. "I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game." eat of my food, and your soul, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, seem to be a little suspicion here, all the way down to the end here. How is it that you found that to gain so quickly, my son? And he answered, here's the second lie. He answered, because the Lord, your God, granted me success. He led me right to the game. Well, it's one lie, second lie, after another. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. So you see the suspicion that's going on already here. And so Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him, the scripture says, who felt him and said, you know, the voice is Jacob's voice. This is Isaac's statement here. The voice I hear speaking to me is Jacob's voice. Well, you know, I don't see how you could, how they felt like they could disguise that. They talk different. But the hands are the hands of Esau. He felt the hairy hands. So he did not recognize him. It threw him off here. Couldn't see. And then he says, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's, so he blessed him. So he blessed him. That was the accomplishment. That's what the whole plan and purpose was all about. He said, are you ready, my son Esau? Here's the next lie. He said, I am. Just have to keep lying, don't you? You start out with a lie, you have to go on lying to cover up what you've already made a mess with back here, don't you? And that's kind of the way we are, isn't it? Kind of the way we are. Then he said, bring it near me. Talking about the savory meat, the good, delicious food, that I may eat of my son's game and bless him. So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. I think this was the final test. And now you understand, I think, why Rebekah planned to put that hairy goat skin around on the back of his neck. Because in embracing, that was a proper custom of the time to kiss one another. You've seen, even in the eastern countries now, at this day and time, they still practice this common way of embracing one another. We shake hands, they kiss one another, one cheek, then the other cheek. And so this was carried on here. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. So you go back now and understand why Rebekah pulled out the garments that was in a tent that belonged to Esau. It had a smell of the wilderness out there, the field, the woods. It couldn't be washed out. And so this was a deceptive web of pertaining the blessing. And so here's the blessing. Verse 28 begins there and says, may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. And this is carried over from the blessing that God pronounced upon Abraham, remember, back in the 12th chapter. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Well, it was accomplished. There's the blessing, pronounced. And it was a common thing back in those days. Once the father had blessed, he could not revoke the blessing. So whatever comes out here, the blessing has been pronounced upon Jacob. And of course, this is according to God's purpose and plan. But it says in verse 30 there, that as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. That quick. He just barely by the skin of his teeth got out. And so it goes on now. And Isaac, being deceived, and honestly thought he was blessing his firstborn Esau, whereas he was blessing the younger Jacob. And so you see, the birthright was a spiritual heritage. It gave the right of being the priest of a family or clan. They still practice that for many, many centuries over in Ireland, Scotland. Clans ruled. And you had heads of clans. And so that's what we see here. It carried with it the privilege of being the depository and the communicator of the divine secrets. That was in the blessing. And it constituted a link in a line of descent by which the Messiah, which is a major thing here, by which the Messiah was to be born into and brought into this world. And so, there we have it. Therefore God, he says, give thee the dew of heaven, or shall, or will give thee the dew of heaven. That's important also. The dew, that was a tremendous blessing in that part of the world. See that he was blessed of God, and the blessed seed should spring from him, as well as his posterity should inherit the land of Canaan. For this is said, rather, by way of prophecy, rather than wish. And so all that followed, that is the dew of heaven, is the rather mentioned, not only because that makes the earth fruitful, on which it plentifully falls, but likewise because the land of Canaan, think about this, my dear friends, the portion of Jacob's posterity, much needed that dew from heaven. And why do you say that, Pastor? Well, if you study the climate and the seasons in the land of Canaan, it's true today. True today, just as it was back in those days, 2,000-3,000 years ago. It only rained twice a year. It only rains twice a year presently over there. They have two seasons of rain. They call them the former rain, or the early rain, and the latter rain. And so the land was impregnated and made fruitful by plentiful dew. Dew is terribly heavy in the land of Canaan, even to this day. And these signified figuratively both the doctrines and blessings of grace. You come into the spiritual application of this thing, and it comes into the effect upon you and I as believers in this day. It speaks of the blessings of God's grace and mercy and kindness upon you and I as believing people. And so this was to fall upon Jacob's offspring, such as are Israelites, as the scripture in the New Testament says, indeed. You remember that? Our Lord making that statement concerning the brother there in, I think it's the second chapter, or maybe it's the first chapter of John. John's gospel, he pronounces that blessing. You are an Israelite indeed, as spiritually speaking. You know, all God's people, even though we may be Gentiles, we have the covenant blessing of God as the former or the early Israelites did. And he calls us Israelites indeed. All right. He says the gospel dispensation is to be brought in consideration here. And we know that to be so. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 2 and 3, God says, "May my doctrine, my teaching, drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass, and like showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord and ascribe greatness to our God." That's gospel blessing. That's gospel signification. So it is to be noted that the blessing which Jacob here receives from the lips of his father was far below the blessing string of promises which he received directly from God when wholly cast upon his grace. And you go back to Genesis chapter 28, 13 through 15, and read what I'm talking about there. The string of blessings, promises, that come with this blessing that Isaac is blessing Jacob with. You know, I believe the blessing on Jacob is mentioned above, signified spiritually both the doctrines and blessings of grace which all of Jacob's spiritual offspring, such as are Israelites indeed, and I take into consideration you who truly believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you fall under this umbrella here and you have these blessings. But returning to the blessing upon Esau, and I'll close with this, it says as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob was scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And so here it is. And he also prepared delicious food from the game that he had found and slaughtered and dressed. He also prepared savory food. Delicious food. Brought it to his father. He said, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac. Imagine this. His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you? Who are you?" And he said, answered, "I'm your son, your firstborn son, Esau." And it says, and Isaac trembled, thinking about what he'd just done. I mentioned to you a while ago, once the blessing had been pronounced upon whomever it was, he could not revoke the blessing. That was just a common principle about this thing, a divine principle that could not be broken. And he says, "Who are you?" "I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came in, and I have blessed him." And then he adds this, "I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. I can't revoke it." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceeding great and bitter cry. And you read this over in the book of Hebrews also, chapter 13, I believe it is. He sought to repent of his sins, sought to repent of all his misdeeds, and sought it with bitter tears, but he was a reprobate and could not find grace with God. And he cried out and said to his father, "Bless me. Bless me." He's pleading with him. "Bless me, even me also. Oh, my father. But he said, and his Isaac said, responding to him, your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. He do nothing about it. He's taken away your blessing. Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. That's not so. That's not so. He's trying to throw this blame on Jacob, but quite a bit earlier, if you read it carefully, old Esau sold his birthright. He sold his birthright and his blessing of the firstborn for a measly pot of stew. And though, as the Hebrew writer says, he sought it with tears, it could not be returned unto him. He goes on and says, behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Is there not one blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to him, to Esau, behold, I have made him Lord over you and all his brothers. I have given to him your servants. All his brothers I've given to him for servants. And with grain I blessed him, and with wine. I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing? Just one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac said, now watch this. Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be. And that was so all the days of his life and his heritage, his descendants after him. They dwelt in that rocky wilderness, in that area where they call Peah, where their houses, their dwelling places were in the rocks. Nowhere could he be found, or his people, around the fatness of the land, the prosperity and the fruitfulness of the land. And he says, away from the dew of heaven. Yeah, the dew is not going to fall upon you. I've already pronounced that upon Jacob. Away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword shall you live. What goes on over there today but constant warfare? People hating one another, despising one another, killing one another, wanting to kill everything around them. That's their whole desire. By your sword shall you live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. That goes on all the time, isn't it? Yeah. They're determined to destroy those Israelites, those Jews that live in the land that God gave them, that God pronounced upon them, not only through Abraham, but all the way through, also through Isaac, and then later on through Jacob. Now Esau, it says in verse 41, hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I'm going to kill him. And he's been out to kill him ever since then. That's what the whole skirmish is about over there today. The conflict. You see, Esau's complaining or complained in vain. He cared not for the birthright. He sold it out. It meant nothing to him. He made that statement. What does it mean to me? He cared nothing for the blessing of the firstborn. He forfeited both of it for the temporary carnal satisfaction of that stew meat, that pot of stew that Jacob had prepared. What his father pronounced upon him was all really that he desired. He was a carnal man. He cared nothing whatsoever for spiritual things, only Jacob. And only by the grace of God did Jacob. All right, we'll stop there.